My next question is for Joel Kotkin. Joel, you've written a lot about the automobile, about suburban life, about a desire for low density. Do you think that this COVID-19 epidemic is going to accelerate decelerate the urbanization trends in the United States and encourage people to find cheaper real estate outside city centers?
Well, first of all, the work that I was doing before this was showing an acceleration of growth in several different areas. The suburbs were growing much faster. New York, Chicago, L.A. all lost population. Migration from places like San Francisco is beginning to go negative. And this was happening before COVID. There's no way I think COVID makes dense urban places more attractive. I don't think it will put the end to them, and I don't think it will mean the decline of every big city, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult when you add in, particularly if you add in social distancing. I don't know how big office buildings work. I don't know how the elevators work. I don't know how the transit system works. Many of the great things about a place like New York, and as you can tell from my accent, this is my hometown, are things that you can't do with social distancing. So I think that also there's going to be a considerable belief, and, you know, people can debate about it, but the fact that this pandemic was so concentrated in urban centers, and most particularly in New York, and followed to a large extent those areas that have a high density, but more importantly, what we call exposure density, that is, that they're living in crowded places. You know, Manhattan, for instance, wasn't as hard hit because it's made up of basically childless, affluent people who could work at home, many of whom had country homes. It was terrible in areas, particularly like parts of Queens, parts of Brooklyn, which is where my family's actually from. And that is a combination of the transit, high density in the households, in other words, multi-generational houses, so where people could infect each other, and of course, to a very large extent, and I think several speakers have raised this, poverty. One thing we find is that it is the poor parts of cities that have been overwhelmingly hit, whether it's New Orleans or Houston or New York or Los Angeles. Even those cities like L.A., which have been hit much less hard, the poor sections are the ones that have been hit. So my sense of it is that cities are going to go through a very difficult transition, and I've been working with my colleague Richard Florida about how those cities can adjust, and also to make the very clear case that people are going to probably continue to want to live in cities, but they may want to live in less dense and generally smaller cities. And that's where all the migration trends that we have are showing so far. And then if you talk to the real estate people and the commercial real estate people, they'll tell you that these trends are beginning to show themselves in the marketplace.
And then this is a follow-up question about the automobile. The automobile was considered, you know, a bad actor historically, traffic, and we really emphasized and encouraged public transportation. And then Uber has also been a challenge to the single person's car. With COVID, mass transit, particularly as you were describing the 7 line coming in from Queens into Manhattan, was where a lot of the pathogens was festered. Do you see this as a huge demerit for mass transit, and do we think it's going to go on the decline?
Well, the reality is it was going in decline before COVID. In Los Angeles, the second largest metropolitan area in the United States, with great weather and high densities, our share of transit is less than it was in 1990 before we spent $20 billion on trains. So, I mean, it was already hurting. I would argue Uber and Lyft have actually probably hit transit more than anything else. That's one of the reasons why we started to see transit flatten and decline, even in transit-oriented cities, because people were taking the Ubers. You know, and as for the car, I mean, look, I think the cars can be cleaner. I think they are getting cleaner. But the reality is, you know, you can denounce them all you want, but there's been a freedom that's been given to people, an ability to choose what they want to do. How many people really want to give up their cars? And if they're And if their option is that the only way you can reasonably give up your car right now really would be to live in a very dense transit city, which is probably not what you want to do. So I think there are going to be some long-term solutions. My colleagues I work with at MIT have been working on this a lot, which is autonomy. Eventually, we could have self-cleaning, solar-powered, autonomous vehicles taking people around. Those long-term solutions probably are going to outlast and defeat any attempt to try to turn the United States into a nation of strap hangers. We've been trying to do it since Jimmy Carter was president, and it doesn't seem to work very well.
Thank you, Joe.